right, listen to where we're up to. Last time we discussed what's called Vasisem Lo, Lo V'lo L'zara. Let's just review it so we're all on the same page. The Mishnah says that if two witnesses testify against someone that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, and then they become Edom Zon, because two Edom say you could have been there to see the get at that time in that place because you're with us at that time in a different place. So instead of applying the rule of Kasha Zomam and punishing the Edom the way they tried to punish the Nido, the one who was on trial, instead what do? We give Makas, 39 lashes. And the Gemara wants to know why. Let's assume again in Rashi's frame of reference, the simple, straightforward case, these two witnesses who became Edom Zomim were what? They were Kohanim. Why not make them into Chalolim? They should be disqualified as Kohanim, just like they want to disqualify the Nidon. So the Gemara says, because the Pasuk in the Parsha of Kasha Zomim says, V'asisem lo. Lo v'lo l'zara. Okay, so then let's see the Gemara inside. We saw it last time. Minani Mili. So if you're on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, we're counting up from the bottom of the page. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom page. Minani Mili. What's the source for this halacha? Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Di Omar Krov Asisem Lo. Kasha Zomam. You should do to him as he wanted to do to the Nidon. Lo V'lo L'zaro. In other words, we cannot punish the Edom in such a way in which that punishment will impact on their children. And if we make these Edom into what? Help me out here, Rabbi Osai. Into Chalolim. That Chalolim is passed on, is transferred to their children. And the Torah says, Lo V'lo L'zaro. Then the Gemara is going to ask another question. If that be the case, Lo V'lo L'zaro, Lifsalu L'didu V'lo Lifsalu L'zaro. Why don't we do a halfway measure here? Why don't we disqualify the Edom? And we won't disqualify the children. And here's where we had a whole discussion last time, in which we tried to structure this psul in such a way that it only is a halachic psul. It's not a psul be yitzira, but told it doesn't affect the actual hereditary structure of the Edom. We can't transfer them into chalolim, they're kohanim and they're pure kohanim, but we will punish them by treating them as if they were psulim and disqualify them. But that disqualification will not pass on to their children because of the law of love, lo l'zaro. And in effect, what we're doing is a halfway measure. We're not doing to them what they wanted to do to the Nidon. Because what would have happened to Aaron to the Nidon? He would be apostle and even his children. But what are you going to do to the Edom? You're going to just apostle the Edom and not the children. That's a halfway measure. There's no halfway measure when it comes to Kasha Zomah. Therefore, we slip back into our fallback position, which is what? Malchus. Good. Now we have the sugya called Bar Pada. This is where we're holding. Now, just by way of introduction, Bar Pada is going to say the following. Do you know how we derive the conclusion that you cannot make the Edom into Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, meaning that you cannot apply Kasha Zomam literally? We know it from a Kal Vachom. And what we're going to do now, in Mirtz Hashem, we're going to try to study this Kal Vachomer, analyze it, and try to understand it, and see why the Gemara has problems with it. This is one of those classical Gemaras where it's back and forth, what's called in the fancy English, the Talmudic dialectic, you know, back and forth, the Shaklevitah. But I have a question to ask you. Is Bar Pada arguing with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Does Bar Pada reject Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Again, even this is by way of introduction, even before we get into the kishkas of Bar Pada's Kal Vachomer, is he arguing with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? What would be a knee-jerk response? Daniel, what would be your knee-jerk response? He's saying Kal Vachomer. No, but I'm just saying, did he accept Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Often I would say no. Because if he accepted Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, what does he need a Kal Vachomer for? So here we have a gigantic machlokas, a controversy in the Mepharshim, how to interpret Bar Pada. One school of thought is going to say that Enoch Hinami Bar Pada had a problem with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He could not accept his derivation is Yalfuz. And therefore he had to find a substitute. And that was the Kal Vachomer. There's another school of thought that maintains that we can have our cake and eat it too. We can accept both Bar Pada and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi at the same time. But you'll ask me the question, how could that be? Why would there be a Kal Vachomer, which is derived from human logic, and at the same time, a Yalfusa from the crow, in which we derive something from the Pasuk? You got to take a pot shot here. You got one shot. Either it's a Kal Vachomer or it's Yalfusa. You can't have both. So here we want to invoke a famous Talmudic principle, which goes as follows. Milsa de Isa b'Kal Vachomer, Tarach v'Kosev l'Kru. Sometimes the Torah, even though it realizes full well that we can derive the conclusion, the halachic conclusion logically, that's called the Kal Vachomer, nevertheless the Torah will write it out. So then what Bar Pod is going to do for us is going to say the following. In truth, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, I really don't need your lo v'lo lazaro. I don't need it. I can survive without it, because what do I have? A Kal Vachomer. But you know what? I don't reject it. Lo v'lo lazaro. That's a perfectly valid drasha. But it's a milsa de isa v'kal v'chomer. Tarach v'kosav l'kra. Even though we can derive it logically, the Torah is going to spell it out. Now you ask me a question, what's the underlying logic behind this principle? I mean, why did the Torah have to spell something out that we can derive from a kal v'chomer? And here once again, what do you say?
You don't make kal v'chomer by yourself.
Oh, one way is to say we're worried about people making their own kal v'chomers. Have I proved to you, how can I prove to you that we're nervous about people making Kal Vachomers? What's it called? Ein Onshin Min Adin. Who remembers what Ein Onshin Min Adin is? We do not derive any punishments based on a Kal Vachomer, says the Maharsha in Sanhedrin. Why? Because we're always afraid that someone is going to find a flaw in the logic of the Kal Vachomer. There's no Kal Vachomer that's absolutely convincing. What's the word I'm looking for? Impervious, is that the word?
Infallible.
Excellent, I like that word. Although that's not the word I was looking for, but infallible.
Irrefutable.
Irrefutable, irreversible. It's all correct. So therefore, we never punish someone based on a Kal Vachomer. Secondly, the Torah is not going to rely on Kal Vachomer because maybe somebody one day will come up with a Pirach on a Kal Vachomer. He'll find some sort of Gemara or piece of logic that undermines the Kal Vachomer. Therefore, the Torah wants to write it out to be absolutely secure. No, if the Torah is going to write it out, then what question should bother our mind? So why bother with the Kal Vachomer? The answer is...
Not every Kal Vachomer has a question.
No, not everyone. Are absolutely infallible. I'll give you an infallible Kal Vachomer. Look, I don't want to get off on a pitch, I'll say it real quickly, and the Maharsha is going to have a lot of trouble with this Gemara. The Torah says that you're not allowed a man is not out of relations with his half sister, whether she shares the same mother, a maternal sister, or she shares the same father, a paternal sister. So the Gemara says that what if your sister is a full sister? She shares both your mother and your father. So the Gemara says that's a Kal Vachomer. If the Torah prohibits you as an ancestral relationship, having a relationship with a half-sister, how much more so if it's a full sister? So the Gemara says that nevertheless, even though it's a Kal Vachomer, ain't on Shimon Adin. And according to the Maharsha, ain't on Shimon Adin, meaning we cannot punish someone based on the potential fallibility of the Kal Vachomer. What could possibly be fallible about this Kal Vachomer? Comes along the Maritz Chayis in Sanhedrin and he rejects the Maharsha. He says, why ain't on Shimon Adin? For a whole different reason. Because the punishment doesn't fit the crime. You deserve a much more severe punishment, and we're not going to let you get away with a lower punishment. Now, I mention this here because it's going to come up not tonight, but later on in Masechta Matnas. You might ask me the following question. If, let's say, that we'll call the punishment 200, and let's say he gets away with 100. So what's so terrible about that? At least it's better than nothing, right? 100 is better than zero.
Kapar,
exactly. Because every punishment guarantees kapar. And we're going to have to come back to that and iron that out, because that's going to be very important for Masechta Matnas. In any event, the Ritva here insists that Bar Poda rejected Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And the Ritva asks the question, why? What bothered Bar Poda and put him into a position where he refused to accept Vasisam Lo Lovelo Lazaro. Comes only with Ritva, and he says something interesting. Maybe we'll get a chance to read it himself. The Ritva says that in the view of Bar Pada, all we have to do is punish the Eden. And that'll be low. So you're telling me, Velo Lazaro? Okay. Velo Lazaro. But that doesn't lead me to the conclusion that we cannot make the Edim into Psulim. Because we can fulfill Vasisim Lo, literally the way the Torah says it, by making the Edim into Ben Gushim and Chalutz. Oh, so you'll tell me it's a half a measure. Says the Ritva, according to Bar Pada, since the Torah said Vasisim Lo, Lo Zaro. That's a full measure. Is that a brilliant chap? No, what are you telling me? You're telling me, but we didn't passel as children. The answer is the Torah told me not to passel as children in so many words. Because what did the Torah say? Lo, below Lazaro. So that's exactly what the Torah is telling me. Make them into Bnei Grusha Mechalutza. But what kind of Ben Grusha Mechalutza? The legal Ben Grusha Mechalutza. It's not in their hereditary system. You can't change reality and therefore won't be transferred to their children. So in other words, to summarize the Ritva in just two sentences, the Yesod HaMachlokas, the fundamental issue that defines the nature, the root of this controversy between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Bar Pada, is how do we view punishing the Edim without punishing the children? Is that a fulfillment of Kashrus Zama? Because the Torah says, Lo v'lo Lazaro. Or on the contrary, it's a halfway measure. You haven't really given them what they wanted to give to the Mita. Fascinating. In other words, from the perspective of the Ritva, Bar Pada says, do the full measure. But the full measure has to be for the Edim. Isn't that brilliant? It's a very profound machlokas. But a whole other school of thought. Many Rishonim say there is no machlokas. All Bar Pada wants to do here is offer me a Kal Vachomer. At the end of the day, he's going to embrace Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He's going to accept the Alfus of Lo V'lo Lazaro, etc. But Milsa, the Avida B'Kal Vachomer, is Torah because of Lo. What is Rabosai the Kal Vachomer of Ben Pada? And that's what we have to really put our thinking caps on. I've read this Gemara Rabosai probably without exaggerating, and I'm not trying to boast. I must have read this Gemara at least 30 times in my life, not twice that amount. And every time I read it, I try to figure out what is the secret here of Bar Pada. He says the following: Uma Hamchalel. Eino mischalel, habo lechalel, velochilel, eino din shelo yischalel. So let's just translate the words. You know, sometimes my Rebbe used to always say that 99% of lumbus is just translating the words. Really, we don't translate the words. There's something called a machalel. A machalel in the classical scenario is what? Who can give me a case where you make someone into a chol? You're a machalel. You see, in the case of a rotzeach, I understand. He picks up a gun and he kills him. He's a rotzeach. But what do you do actively to make someone into a chol? Who are the three categories? Who remembers? Who are the three categories of ladies that a kohen is not allowed to marry?
Grusha.
Okay. A grusha, a zona, and a chalol. Okay, those are the three categories in Parshas Emor. Good, Azula. So let's take the first case. A Kohen marries a Grusha. Good. So what does he do as a result of his relationship with this Grusha? He creates a Chalal. That's called a Mechalal. What happens to him himself? This big shot. He's a Kohen, goes and marries a Grusha, or an Almana, and then what happens to him? What's his status to Kohen? Zippo. Nothing happens to him. He remains a kosher. So he's a machalel, the eno mischalel.
Yeah, he remains a kosher.
He remains a kosher. Again, I wouldn't give him to daven Friday night Kabbalah Shabbos, you know, in the circus.
Can he do
what?
Can he duha? Can he go up to duha? I know.
Well, wait a minute. He eventually, for a time period, as long as he remains married to her, there are certain demon. Because we don't want him to go up to Duchen. But technically, he's kosher for Duchen. He's kosher for Avodah on the Mizbeach. We may force him to divorce his wife because right now he's in a state of Iser. But he's not a Chol. And yet he's Mechalel. That's the paradox of it. It's like a guy who carries around a contagious disease, but he himself is impervious to the disease. Yeah, he's Metar as a Tmei, but he remains Tar. Oh, if that be the case, then let's look at these Eidim. These Eidim, the first two, testified against Yankel Katz that he's a Cholol. So what did they do to Yankel through their Eidus? They were a Mechalel. Do you see the parallel? So what should happen to them? Well, if you follow the paradigm, then they remain Eidim, Kohanim, Ksherim. Because the Mechalel is Eidim Mechalel. But that's not a Kal Vachomer. That's what we call a Tzad HaShavah. A Tzad HaShavah means when we have a perfect analogy, a mirror image of A and B. So we say that a Mechalel is Eidim Mechalel. So then Bar Pada doesn't have a Kal Vachomer. If a Mechal is Eidim Mischalel, then Eidim Zomimim, although they're Mechalim, they don't become Chalolim themselves. Where's the Kal Vachomer? So take a look inside again. Let's read the words one more time. Daniel? Yeah? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
So the Eidim Mischalel.
Not Eino Mischalel. Is that what it says? It should say Eino Mechalel. It should say Uma Mechalel Mischalel. Habo Lechal Velo Chilel. Those are the two words. No, the Digduk. I'm sorry, I'm being very picky about, but the Digduk is important. Velo Chilel. Velo Chilel. Meaning, at least in the case of the Kohen who married Grusha, he successfully converted his children into Chalolim. Converted is not a good word, but he set up a system in which they would become Chalolim. In the case of the Eidim Zomimim, did they successfully make the Nidon into a Chalol? They did not. Why not? Because of a rule which we're going to have later on in the Mishnah Daf Hey, and that is Kasher Zomam Velo Kasher Os. The fascinating thing about this whole sugya of Azomah, and it touches on something we discussed in our introductory shiur about whether Azomah is logical or not. The Torah says that these Eidim, paradoxically, are only punishable if they did not succeed. Is that odd? The whole parsha of Kasher Zomam is because you made an attempt. You know, in modern English, we call it attempted murder. But here's a case where attempted murder is more liable and culpable than murder itself. Because had the Eidim successfully achieved their goal, whatever it might be, whether it to be Machayev someone, Misa, Malkus, or Mammon, or Ben Grush, Bechaluz, whatever it might be, had they succeeded in, you know, if I could use a term from American baseball, in rounding the bases and coming to home plate, then they would be completely scot-free, totally exonerated.
Can I ask you a second question? Succeeded in the verdict or the fulfillment of the verdict? If they're the same, the guys supposed to be put
right, right. It's in that very, you know, very cut, slimmer of time, which is after the verdict was taken, before it was implemented. That's called after Gemar Din, before the Onish was implemented. Okay? Yeah, we're going to get into this on Daf Hey, so we're really fast forwarding, but suffice it to say that the Eidim here in our Mishnah, the Lo Chilel. So who's worse off? Logically, who deserves more punishment? A Mechalel or someone who's Lo Chilel? Obviously a Mechalel. And yet, oddly enough, in the case of Mechalel, Eino Mischalel. He himself doesn't become a Chol. So how much more so Kal Vachomer and Ben Benosh shall come in case of the Eidim, who are Bo Lechal V'Lo Chilel? Certainly they shouldn't be Mischalel. Now again, you could ask the question, what do we do to them? And what's the answer to that mission? There's always a default position, right, Max? Mm-hmm. It's always going to be what? Mm-hmm. It's always going to be Malkus. How's the cost? Good?
It seems that what we're saying is that even if we didn't have the strange law...
If you don't mind, I'm just going to make a bracha.
Please.
That even if we didn't have this law, that it's only once you... Only the Eidim Zomim only applies if the person wasn't actually whatever.
The punishment wasn't implemented.
It wasn't implemented. Even putting that rule aside, let's imagine that wasn't the rule in some mirror universe. So in that mirror universe, I'd have Gezeira Shavah.
What kind of universe is that?
A mirror universe.
A mirror universe.
It's like a parallel universe where this law didn't apply.
Okay, fine.
Zomim acted.
I was going to ask you which branch of the mirror. Is it the Brooklyn branch or the Shalaya branch?
Like the Sadukim, we said that the person actually has to be killed in order for you to kill the Zomim. So in that world, Bar Pablo would say, oh, there's a Gzeir Shavah.
Right.
Because of Machal in Mitchalel, so there's, what would the law
be? I would call it, it's not a Shavah.
That's okay, it. It's not a Shavah. Right. So in that rule with the Mitchalel, there would be no punishment. You would say, there's, Ein Zomer doesn't apply to this because of this parallel. So in that sense, the Kal Chomer should be stronger and should not even require an office.
I got you up until the end, you know, and then I lost you at the end.
Because
you know?
It's not as if the Kohen who marries a Gerusha gets Malkos. He's just scot-free. So if we're saying that, if we're applying that parallel completely...
So John, you're taking us... This takes us back to the old discussion. Remember, we spoke about Losana Briachei Tshoker, and it's a lot of Shembo Maisa, but yet, but it's because it's Tzadik, so they get Malkos. I don't know, is that...
I remember.
So that's really... Okay. Now, Rabosai, if the logic of the Kal Vachomer is appealing to you, which I hope it is, I tried to do a very good job to present it, now we have to figure out, rack our brains, why the Gemara rejects. So the Gemara says, Maskif Lei Ravina. Okay. Are we ready for this? What does Maskif Lei mean? Miloshin Tokeif, right? Even in modern Hebrew, yeah. To really rip into him, you know. Usually, Maskifle doesn't have a counter argument. It's like you really knock someone TKO out of the box. In Cain, if you're correct, Bitalta Toras Edim Zom. So once again, let's just try to first translate the words. Your logic will undermine the entire parsha of Edom Zomim. And that we can't do. We can't take a parsha in the Torah and cut it out. And because as the Rogachov would say, well, what about the Gemara on the other side of the page, if you cut that out, or the Psukim on the other side of the page. So the Rogachov said, that's not a problem, because Oyel Rosh, Oyel Shekhinah. You remember that? So what do we do in such a case? You're clashing, you're undermining the entire parsha of Edom Zomim. If we take your logic to its conclusion, there ain't no such thing as Edom Zomim. Never. Okay, I don't know. I have a problem here, but I don't want to confuse you. If you understand the Gemara, then that's great. You know, I don't want to. Why should I upset you? You know, with my problems. Frankly speaking, I don't understand the whole methodology. This, it makes no sense to me.
Because there still is the pasuk because he's employed.
Yeah. In other words, I would say the following: we can apply the Kal Vachomer and limit it to that case. Who says that you have to expand it and extend it in such a way that you blow up the whole parsha of kashrus? The premise of this Gemara is that if the logic of the Kal Vachomer were to be embraced and therefore applied elsewhere, beyond the bounds of the case of a cholol of Ben Grush Bekalutza, then we would undermine the entire parsha of Edom Zomim. So I would say, good, I agree with you 100%. And we're going to see that on Amud Beis, why that's so. But I would say, so what? So all you're telling me is be very careful. You know, you're treading on ice over here. Be very careful to what extent you want to apply the Kal Vachomer. You want to limit it to the case of Chalolim, where the din is that HaMachalel Eino Mischalel. So I'll limit it to that case. You want to extend it beyond those bounds, then you're going to undermine, torpedo the whole parish of Kashas Om. So that you're not going to do. For some reason, and this is what bothers my mind, the Gemara thinks that we have to be absolutely consistent with the logic of this Bar Pardes Kal Vachomer in such a way that we apply it umatum all over and still end up with something in the bag. There's some possible fulfillment of asis and wokashis. So let's turn to Amud Beis and let's see why the Gemara Ravina attacks Bar Pada and says that your logic will undermine the entire parsha of kashizom. Uma hasokel. No, it's, again, what it's just follow the methodology of the Gemara here as we turn to Amud Beis. And the Gemara is going to say that we're going to take Bar Pada's Kal Vachomer and we're going to offer an exact symmetrical Kal Vachomer, a mirror Kal Vachomer, and in doing so, we're going to undermine the whole parsha of Kashrus. So what's the mirror case? What's the spitting image? You know, tselem elokim of this kal vachomer. Uma hasokel eino niskal haba liskal velo sokal eino din shelo yisokel. Part of me would like to interpret this gemara like Rabbeinu Tam, but I think it would be an insult to the Zayda. So we have to start with Rashi. Although, frankly, I find Rabbeinu Tam's pshat in this gemara a lot more attractive. But let's try to rack up brains on Rashi. What's maha sokil eno niskal? Sokil, he who gives skila, is eno niskal. What do you mean he who gives skila? Who's giving skila? Says Rashi, Eidim shlo huzmu achenera ganidon ve'achar kach huzmu enerog kremim kehogoyin enerog kesim kashim. So Rashi leaves out a whole chunk here. He figures we have the intelligence and the imagination to fill in the missing pieces. Says Rashi, two witnesses testified against Reuven that he's chayev skew. Anybody have an example? Shabbos. Excellent. They saw Reuven at such a time, at such a place, violate the Shabbos. And therefore he's chayev skew. Once the Eidus was accepted, and the verdict was handed down, what happened next? They stoned him. They implemented the Chiyuv Skila, that capital crime. They pushed him off a high ledge, and then they buried him with stones. Good. Lo na'im, as we would say, but that's what they did. Now, two Edom come in, and they say, Imano Ayisem. What are we going to do with the first two Edom? Nothing. Why? Because of the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Kasha Zoma, the low Kasha Rasa. So the Gemara says the following. If you, Bar Pada, are applying the logic of your Kal Vachomer, and what's the Kal here? The Kal case is because, I'm sorry, the Chomer case is because they implemented the punishment already. So then, what happens in a case where two Edim testified against some of these chayv skila and Bezdin implemented the skila, so I can say the following kal vachomer: the Edom should get no punishment at all. Why? Because if kasha zoma velo kasha osa applies, then how could you possibly punish the Edom? Let's read it inside. Uma sokel eino niskal haba liskal velo sokal. Ain't no din shalo yisakel. So basically, what are you doing now? You are undermining the entire parish of Kasha Zoma, because your logic is that if the law is that when Bezdin implemented the punishment, that's the chamor, and the Edim successfully achieved their devious goal, and they punished the Nidon, and they killed him, and they stoned him. And nevertheless, what do we do to the Edim? Nothing, right? So how can we punish the Edim if in the classical Hazama scenario, they were mazing them before the Skila was implemented, when they didn't do anything to the Nidon? Again, they were lo na'im. Like I said, the Nidon didn't have a very pleasant couple of days over there. But at the end of the day, we didn't touch the Nidon. We didn't even make a scratch on it. We didn't even throw one little stone.
That's the whole point.
That's exactly
what it is. So
the Gemara says, therefore, we cannot accept the logic of our Pada. The whole logic of our Pada is
the punishment should be even bigger.
Yeah, and instead, since we can't punish him when we kill the Nidon, how can we punish the Edom when we didn't kill the Nidon? It doesn't make any logical sense.
It's
not about
logic. Pasuk says, that's what it is.
So Alan, whose side are you? Are you defending Bar Pada, or are you defending Rav Vida? That's how you have to. I'm pushing against the wall. See, Rav Vida,
they're going outside the box here because
Rav Vida is attacking. He's accusing Bar Pada of illegal ammunition in this Kalvachomer. Biological war. You're not allowed to use chemical or biological war. This is not fair. What you're doing, Bar Pada, is that you're not working within the system. You're not working within the rules and regulations of the Parshat Zoma. Because the Torah says in the Parshat Zoma, we'd only give you Kasha Zoma because of your intention. And not if you fulfilled and achieved your intention, kasher osa. So it's only kasher zov and not kasher osa. And you want to use that kavachomer to say that certainly the kasher zov shouldn't be punished because it was kasher zov below kasher osa. That doesn't make any sense. You're saying that since kasher osa, we don't punish the eidim, how much more so in kasher zov we shouldn't be punishing the eidim? No, if that be the case, then you've completely undermined the whole parasha of kasher zomah. Now, I would have said, Nicha, okay, so we're not going to go that far. We'll only apply it to the case of Ben Grusha Mechalutza. But Ravina's not happy with that. Ravina says, no, if you're applying that logic to underlie your Kal V'chomer and construct a Kal V'chomer, in the case of Ben Grusha Mechalutza, you have to be consistent about it. And if you're consistent, you have to apply it in all cases. And you're always going to come up to a stale, to a, how should I say, a wall. You know, you're going to hit up against the, smack up against the wall.
Because in the Barapada example, yeah, it is within the rules of kasher zomah. There is a situation of the laws of kasher asa would apply. In the other example of the skila, no, that's already after the judgment was carried out. Therefore, it is not within the rules of the
Yeah, but Alan, again, I'm going to try to defend Ravina here. Ravina, and you be Barapada. We'll play this all out.
Blame
what I'm saying to you, Mr. Barapada, or Rabbi Barapada, right? I'm saying the following. You're saying to me that if the Eidim would have been Mechala, and they would have accepted their testimony straight across, you know, all the way to the implementation, then the Eidim would be left off the hook, that would go scot-free. It's Kolsch came in the case of Aloka, where they didn't succeed. Correct? No, but if you can apply that logic, then you define the whole essence of kasher zomah. Because you want to come to conclusions to leave the Eidim and alleviate them of any punishment based on the fact that we would alleviate them from punishment if they succeeded. That's exactly what the Torah said in kasher zomah, that you're only responsible for the case of kasher zomah, and not for the case of kasher osa. So now you can turn around and say, well, if kasher osa you're not responsible, then certainly you're not responsible for kasher zomah. That's not fair. You're undermining the whole logic of kasher zomah.
There's another element here, too. When Barapada is bringing the kavachomer to deal with the issue of why you can't punish the eidim, who are kohanim, with making them chalom. That will affect the kids. It's not about not getting punished. It's not saying don't give them makos. It's not saying
Wait a second now. You're going back now to Rabbi Shimon Levi now? Or what?
Saying, but Barapada brought this kalachomer to say, right, I don't need the pasuk of
law. Of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, of law all the time.
I have a kalachomer, right, that's this whole case. But that's still a situation where it fits within the rules of Eidim Zomim. The judgment was not carried out. They were disqualified. The Eidus was disqualified before the Kohen that they testified. The Nidim was declared to be a chala.
Right.
It didn't happen, so therefore they can be punished. Kasher asa lo kasher. The issue there is simply we can't give them exactly what they planned because that will affect the children and there's a problem with that. But it's still within the rules of carrying out the punishment against the Eidim Zomimim. In the case of the Skila, that's...
But again, if you ask Barapada, why don't we make these Eidim, the Zomimim, into Chalolim, his answer is because had they succeeded, they would not be made into Chalolim.
Okay.
That logic is puzzle trafe, as we'd say.
It's a
technical fact.
I understand.
Anyway, that's Rashi. Let's take a look at Rabbeinu Tam.
Wouldn't there be a chiluk between Barapada and Ravina, just in case, because Ravina is actually making a Kal V'chomer in Eidim Zomim itself.
Right.
Which is canceling it out. Barapada is not actually doing that. He's saying there's a certain kula by a chaluk.
Right. So then you're on my side. You're on your
side. Yeah, so it's...
Okay. Pirush HaKudris, Kshahargu... If they actually killed the Nidon, they stoned him based on the testimony of the Eidim Zomim, is Ein Erogim, right? We let the Eidim go scot free. Dinu, it's logical therefore, Debo Larog Velaharga, in the classical scenario of Eidim Zomim, which is purely Kasher Zomim, the Ein Erogim, certainly they shouldn't be punished. If they succeeded and somebody died as a result of their punishment, nevertheless they're off the hook. How much more so if they succeeded and somebody died as a result of their punishment? I'm sorry. Let me say that one more time. If when they succeeded and somebody died as a result of the punishment, we let them off the hook and we don't punish the Eidim, how much more so in the case where we found them, we stopped them dead in their tracks before we could kill the Nidon, how much more so should they should be alleviated from their punishment? The Kosher Tuvah. Says Tosa, I can't accept it. Number one, Chada da Havile le Meimar kidamrina le Kamon Hargo vi Einer Rogin. First of all, why didn't the Gemara as much as hint at the principle of Hargo Hargu Einer Rogin? They should have been, the Gemara should have invoked that principle. I mean, Rashi fills us in, but we haven't gotten to the Hayamid Beis. The Gemara should have given us a little bit of a heads up, a preview. The ode, and secondly, my parech, what kind of question is it? Now Tosfos is completely rejecting the question, but not for our reason, for a different reason. He says, Shani Hacha, the gully kra beheja, the abo liskal velo sokal, the niskal. Right? The Torah says, V'asisim lo kasha zama. So the Torah goes out of its way to tell you that we will punish the Edom exactly as they wanted to the Nidon, even though it was only zama, it was only an intention, and they never succeeded in meeting out that punishment. The niskal bahu kra gufek, the chazinin de hasokil eno niskal, kirichsiv, kasha zama, v'lo kasha osa. Avali olam emelecha, de islach, Shapir kavachom dili el dili inin chilul the holo goli krab shum makom the shayich b'davar zesh is chalel hazama. Tosfos says we find nowhere that in the case of chilul that if just one second shum makom the shayich b'davar zesh is chalel, we never found that the Torah says that even though you successfully made him into a chalal, you the Edom will be alleviated from the punishment of chalolos. We don't find that. In the case of skila, the Torah went out of its way on that case, or similar cases, that category of a case, namely where you testified against someone that he's chayav misa for a capital crime, the Torah says, kasher zomam, let's punish the Edom because of their intention. But in the case of chalolos, we don't have any pasuk that says, let's punish the Edom because of their intention. And therefore, we have a right to apply human logic to see whether it makes sense that we should, in fact, punish the Edom because of their intention, even though they didn't succeed. The old kasha, furthermore, he has a third question. The Havile Litarits, the Hosam Vadi Law of Dina Kavachom Mishum, Dim Kame Bitalta, Toras, Edom Zomim Legamre, Vlomish Kachas Law Kasha Zomam. It could be that this third question, this objection is ours. This it could be. What he's saying is that why is Ravina up in arms here against Bar Pada? Why didn't Bar Pada just simply blow him away? He should have defended himself and answered that in the case of Skilo, we can't do the Kal V'chomer because then we're going to have to throw out the whole parish of Edom Zomim. But we could use the Kal V'chomer in a limited, circumscribed area of halacha, namely with regard to chalolos. Avoli el delo bitalta tolos Edom Zomim. In the case of chalolos, we're not undermining the entire parish of Edom Zomim. We're just saying it doesn't apply in that one particular case. Shayach Shapir, it makes logical sense. Lemevad Kal V'chomer. So based on these three questions, let's just summarize the three questions of Tosfos, and now we'll see Rabbeinu Tam's alternate pshat. Number one, why did the Gemara not fail to invoke the principle of Hargo? Hargu Einer Rogim, meaning Kasher Zom v'lo Kasher Osa. So question number two, in the case of Skila, the Torah explicitly says Kasher Zom, let's punish the Edom for their intention and not because they succeeded. And question number three, even if I have a problem extending the Kal V'chomer, because that would undermine and torpedo the entire parasha of Kasher Zomam, nevertheless, I could apply it in a very limited way to the case of Chalolos, because in the case of Chalolos, the Torah doesn't say that we're going to punish the Edom because of the Kasher Zomam. In other words, the parasha of Kasher Zomam was not formulated with regard to what? With regard to Chalolos. The parsha how does Tosfos know that the parsha of Kasher Zomam was formulated in the case of Hariga? Because the Torah there says, I don't have a chumash here, if anybody wants to look it up, Nefesh tachas nefesh, I think it says there in the parsha. Here, it doesn't say chol tachas chol. So maybe we'll use our human logic and the chalolos will not replace the chalolos. Oh, lekach pirish Rabbeinu Tam. The hachikomer. Uma hasokel eino niskal pirish. Odom shesokel chavero ba'avanu. There are many ways you can murder someone. One of the myriad ways is to throw stones at him. And what punishment does he get in such a case? The nidon b'sayef, right? There are four categories of capital punishment. One of which is skila, but that's not the designated punishment for ritzicha. So it doesn't matter what form of ritzicha, how you kill someone, the punishment is always the same. Namely what? Sayef. Right? You get killed by the sword. So you see that someone who tried, no, I shouldn't say tried, someone who successfully killed someone in a particular fashion, nevertheless, he suffers a lighter punishment. Because skila is more chomer than saif.
So that's fine.
But we don't give him the punishment that he gave to the nidon, correct? So what the Gemara is establishing based on the Sokel Eino Niskal is that we don't always punish a person exactly commensurate to his crime. And therefore, let's apply that to the case of Edom Zomimim. Therefore, the Gemara says, Habo Liskal, in the case of Edom Zomimim, who tried to give skila. So imagine that the Edom Zomimim, in a figurative sense, are holding on to stones and trying to throw them at the nidon. Right? Because what are they trying to do? They're trying to punish the nidon.
Like the nidon wants to punish them.
No, I meant to say something different. What I meant to say is that according to Rabbeinu Tam, if let's say the Edom tried to give skila to someone, like in the case of Chil Shabbos, for example, correct? So they, you can describe them, again, figuratively, not literally, as Habba Lisko. Now, did they succeed in throwing the stones at this person?
No.
Right?
Did they get Saif?
No.
Yeah, maybe they should get Saif, but not Skila.
No. Because we're not talking about punishment for Retzach. We're talking about a punishment for...
No, but I'm saying if I give you one case in the Torah, all I have to do is for Kavod Chomer, I only need one case. If I can construct one case in which we don't give skewer for someone who's a sokel, then how much more so in somebody who tried to give skewer and did not succeed, so that we can't give skewer?
But it's not just two different things. If I kill someone, I'm then punishable by death, and it doesn't matter how I killed somebody, I'm going to get killed by Saif.
Right.
But if I testify falsely against someone and accuse them of a chet that merits skila, and it didn't get carried out, and I'm impeached before the sentence gets carried out, then I'm going to get skila. It doesn't matter that I didn't try to throw a stone at the nidon. I tried to get the court to throw stones at the nidon. It's different. I'm not getting punished because I killed someone. I'm getting punished because I gave false testimony and I'm supposed to get kasher zama. It's a different principle.
So again, let's go back to a minute in time one more time. If a sokel ain't on niskel, but rather he gets what? Saif is how much more so the Edom who tried to give skila and didn't succeed, so certainly they should not get skila. Comes along Alan
and he says no, I don't read the
in the case of a sokel, his punishment, his condemnation is for ritzicha. And the punishment for ritzicha is not skila, it's saif. But in the case of Edom Zomimim, their punishment is Vasisim Lokashu Zoma. Wait a second. Wait, let's just read another few words in Rabbeinu Tam. Just one second. I had an iPhone. We'll see if it works. Is v'lod a edim shem edim ish ponish mechuyv skila v'lo niskal al yodam ein udin shelo yiskel lenu.
That's right.
Just one second. Wait. Yeah, you may be right, but wait. Let's just v'hashta lo bitalto legamre the ikol ukmi krod avasisim lo kashuzam kshem edim shem mechuyv shar misus pesdin she'eno biskila. And how would that Kal v'chomer fall off? Let's just see. Let's say... One second. What would be a case... What does he mean by shar misos? What would be the case? It's a two eidim testify that. Oh, I got it. Let's say two eidim testify that Reuven killed Shimon with a scythe. Oh, that's what he has in mind. Yeah, I don't know why he calls it shar misos bezdin. I think the Marsha is going to address this question, but before we get to the Marsha, so again, just follow the logic. If two Adam testify that Reuven killed Shimon with a Saif, correct? What happens now to Reuven? He gets Saif.
Not because he was killed with a Saif.
Right. But anyway, we give him the punishment that fits the crime. So if Adam would testify that Reuven killed Shimon with a Saif,
anyway,
then what would happen to the Edom?
Saif.
They would be killed with Saif.
Because that's the punishment they tried to inflict on the Nidum.
So the point is that within the context of Mises Bezdin, even if we accept the Kal V'chomer of Ravina, we can still fulfill the mitzvah of the Sisal Kash, the din of Sisal Kash Zom. In what case? In a case of Saif. Yeah, what does he mean by Shar Mises Bezdin? That's the Marsha's problem. What?
Specifically gave in the case of
Skila. No, he's saying like this. In Skila, you're not going to give the Edom Skila. Why? Because of the Kal V'chomer of Ravina. But it doesn't mean that Ravina's coming to completely undermine the Parsha of Kasha Zomim. You understand, Aaron? If we come up with one case where Kasha Zomim can be applied literally, without violating the Kal V'chomer of Ravina, then Ravina's question against Farpar is an excellent question. Because again, why did Rabbeinu Tam reject Rashi? Why did he object to Ravina the way Rashi had? Because Ravina would then be undermining the entire parasha of Kasha Zama. Says Rabbeinu Tam, but in my interpretation of Ravina, Ravina's allowing room for a kiyum of Kasha Zama, and the parasha is meaningful in the case of Sarif. So in the case of Skila, we will not be able to punish the Edom with Skila. Again, what happens to the Edom, I don't know. But they're not Skila. Maybe no punishment. Maybe the Amalkus. Maybe they should get Saif. Right? Because the Rotech gets Saif. Whatever it is, but it's not Kasha Zomim, literally.
That's what Kasha says.
Right? Oh, he says with Farish that they get that the Edom gets Saif?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. No, I'm asking after the Kal V'chomer, what happens to the Edom? So he says, Habal liskal, these are the Edom already. Velo niskal Edom shemidim ishponi shemichuyev skila. Velo niskal al yod mein adin shelo yiskelena. But there are a few words missing here. Ella narvas. He doesn't fill in the missing space. So either Tosis means shelo yiskelenu, but he gets saif, but they get saif. Or Tosis means that since we can't apply kasha zom, they get nothing. Or maybe they get malchus, like for the classical case of losana briachet shokem. But in any event, what comes out now, says Ravina to Bar Pado, according to Rabbeinu Tam's pshat, is that if we apply your logic from the case of Chil, of B'nai Grusha, B'nai Chalutza, all the way to the case of Skila, then we will not be able to give the Edom Skila in a case where they wanted to give the Nidon Skila. And why not? Because a Sokel, somebody who murders someone with Skila, he himself doesn't get Skila. How much more so the Edom who tried to give Skila by accusing Ploni of being Machal Shabbos, certainly if they didn't succeed, since they didn't succeed, they will not get Skila. Good. But we don't know if that's true. In fact, we know it's not true, because the Mishnah only gives us two cases where we don't apply Kasha Zoma. Skila is not one of the two, it's the third case. So you see, Bar Pata, that your logic is unacceptable. But now Rabbeinu Tam has to plug up a hole here. He's got to defend himself, otherwise he's vulnerable to the same attack that he applied to Rashi. Well, wait a minute. If this be the case, you've completely undermined the entire parasha of Kasha Zoma. Tell us his name. Because if two Edom would testify against Reuven that he murdered Shimon with a Saif, then the Edom, when they're found to be Zomim, would get Saif.
Or his name of Machal Shabbos. testify there was Mechal Shabbos, so fine, we can't steal it. There's no, because there won't be any Kal Vachomer issues there.
Well, again, once we reject Bar Pada, because we know that in the case that two Eidim who tried to give skila will get skila on the Kashrusah. So reject Bar Pada, then we're left with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi as far as Chalolus is concerned. And beyond Chalolus, we're not going to accept the Kal Vachomer Bar Pada, and certainly not the extension of the Kal Vachomer Bar Pada. And therefore, if two Eidim testify against Reuben that he's got skila, the two Eidim will get skila. Let's see, again, we only have 5 minutes left, but let's see if we can read the next Gemara. Me'idin on a bish ploni shuchayv golos. Two Eidim testify that Reuben killed Shimon b'shogging, and therefore Reuben is chayv golos. He has to go to the ear. Miklat. So what happens when we find these Eidim to be zomen? Should we send them to ear miklat? No, the Mishnah says we don't. And of course, the question is going to be, why not? But instead we give them malchus. Minani mili, what's the source for this halacha? Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Kra, hu yanus el achas ha'orim. There's an extra word in the pasuk, hu. Okay, if you have the fancy gemaras here, the Torah or, they tell you the entire pasuk. And it's a pasuk in Dvar Mutes, pasuk he. And there it says, hu yanus el achas ha'orim. So that word hu is totally superfluous. So what are we going to do with the extra word hu? It's going to come as a mute. When there's an extra word, it tells you only him and not someone else. Well, who else will we send into goals? The answer is, the only other candidate is Eidim Zomim. Who comes to exclude Eidim Zomim? Rav Yochanan Omer, Kal Vachomer, exact parallel to Bar Pada. What do you need this drasha for? I can derive it from a Kal Vachomer. Umahu sha'asa maisa b'mezid. Eino gole.
Because only a
shogeg
goes to
Golus. So if Reuben kills Shimon b'mezid, Reuben doesn't go into Golus. Hein shelo asu ma'isa b'mezid. Right? They didn't do anything that you can call a ma'isa, because once again, we're talking about kasher zomam v'lo kasher asa. Is ain't no din shelo yiglu? No. I'm sorry. This is not the way the Gemara understands Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's Kal Vachomer is that if somebody murders someone, he did an action. The Eidim didn't do any action. Right? They're only guilty of dibur, of speech. And certainly they shouldn't be chayv golus. If somebody does an action and he's responsible for someone's murder, he doesn't go into golus. Yeah, but why doesn't he go into golus? Because we put him to death. You know, it's a little bit odd that you're deriving conclusions from someone who's amazed. Let's read Rashi, four lines down from the top. Ha-horeg sha'asa ma'isa im b'mezid aso eino gola. Oh, Rashi's bothered by that question. So Rashi says, what would be the scenario in which a person who murders someone intentionally should go into golus? Afilu b'zman she'eino nerak. When there is no capital punishment. Kigon b'mezid below asra. There was no warning. Haim, what about the Eidim? Shelo asu maisa el dibur bialma, ubim mezid heidu, eino din shelo yiglu ala mezid. Certainly they did not deserve this harsh punishment of golus and send them to the ear miklat when they didn't do any action whatsoever. They were mezid for sure, but it was only dibur. And if you'll tell me, so what are you going to tell me? So the Gemara says that Kal Vachomer of Rabbi Yochanan makes no sense. He hanosenes. Did you ever hear that phrase? He hanosenes? He hanosenes means your logic is exactly the answer to your question. Who shall some ice of amazed? We cannot impose a punishment of goats for the person who murders someone b'mezid. Why not? Ki hechi d'lo tehevi l'kapara. Because as we said before, you remember this, every onesh guarantees the nenash kapara. So we cannot give a light punishment for a heavy crime. So we cannot let them get off the hook with golus when they deserve something worse than golus. Hain, but in the case of the Eidim, shelo asu ma'isa b'mezid, they only involve themselves in dibur, so it's a lower echelon avera, is nami liglu. Maybe we should send them into golus, and your kal vachomer falls apart. For lower cap Avera, a lower punishment, would be sufficient. So if the case of Amazer, we can't let him get off the hook with what? With Golus, but in the case of Edom, who are only guilty of Dibur and not Maisa, we'll let them off with that punishment called Golus. Therefore, the Kal v'chomer of Yochanan has to be rejected. So what are we left with? Ela Machvarta, the clear way of understanding it, is Kireish Lakish. We go back to Reish Lakish, who said, Hu Yanus, Hu Velo Zomimim. I just want to point out something here, that there's something very strange going on here, this whole sugya. Golus is a unique kind of punishment. It's not your classical punishment. For example, who remembers, at what point does the Rotzeh Peshogeg leave the Eir Miklat?
When
the Kohen Gadol dies. So you'll ask me the question, why? I mean, the Kohen Gadol might die the day after they get there, or the very same day they arrive, before they unpack their bags. In another scenario, the Kohen Gadol might live, Baruch Hashem, for another 60 years. So this guy is he's a 20-year-old fellow who inadvertently fell off a ladder and killed somebody, right? And now for the next 60 years, till the Kohen Gadol dies, he's sitting there in the Eir Miklat, you know, broiling in the sun. It's not fair. This guy didn't even unpack his bags. So the whole thing makes no sense. But the teretz is that we're not dealing with punishments here. The whole concept of golus has nothing to do with punishments. It's what we call a kapara. And somehow the kapara of the individual, which again is very paradoxical, but the kapara of the individual is somehow swallowed up into the whole tzibur. And what generates kapara for the entire tzibur? The death of the Kohen Gadol. So he swallowed up and somehow participates in that gigantic mushroom kapara, umbrella kapara of the Kohen Gadol. But one thing is crystal clear. Golus is not an onesh. In fact, what's the first and most practical purpose of Golus? To protect them from the Goladam. The whole system of Golus operates with different rules, different regulations.
Okay, because he killed him, show you.
Correct, but I'm just saying, to call it an onesh, a punishment, and then say, well, you know what, this punishment is not good enough in the case of...
It's like we talked about the first year, is not community in a consequence and a punishment.
Right, in this case, it's a consequence. It's not a punishment. So when we're dealing with Hilchas Kapara, I'm not sure if we should use the same barometers. And, well, if he killed somebody, he doesn't go into Golus. If he only spoke by using the courts for a testimony, then he should go into Golus. I mean, the whole thing, it's inapplicable. Because we're talking about a kapara. This kapara, which is called golus, was manufactured, was designed by the Torah for one specific crime. What is that crime? Rotzeh Peshogeg. I can invent, I can weave different kinds of crimes and say to you, well, why not send them into golus? And then when the Kohen Gadol dies, the whole system of golus is only applicable in one case, the case of a rotzeh. The Gemara is going to explain later on why the Mises Kohen Gadol is specifically a kapar for Ritzicha. It has to do with the nature of Ritzicha. And now the Gemara wants to logically apply this punishment of Golus to Edom Zomimim. Okay, there's a lot to talk about here. I want you to think about this question. Mitzvah, we'll pick it up next time. And we're coming very close to the end of the Zman in the Yeshiva here. We have what's called Bein HaZmanim, a break from Tisha B'Av until Rosh Chodesh El. It's about a 3-week break. So it's up to you, Ravosa. I can, I might have to miss one Wednesday when, with my son is coming with his family from America, so we have to spend, some chunk of time with him. Maybe I don't know where we're going to go yet. If you have any recommendations, let me know. So, just if everyone could just give me an idea as whether or not we should next week, I'd like to meet the Mitzvah, Lina. But after that, for the 3 weeks after that,
are people going away? People planning vacations?
That's why I don't know. The Bein HaZmanim of yeshiva is a little bit different than Bein HaZmanim people who have graduated yeshiva. They're already rank and file citizens. So that you'll have to get back to me. I don't know. Logically, I think you're correct, but I don't want to, you know. Yeah, but then again, it's only Nogea after Tisha B'Av. And again, I want to repeat my announcement that in Mirtz Hashem on Tisha B'Av, again, if we don't have a Kiddush, then we'll have Kiddush. It'll be meaningful. We have to work out, I don't know, seating arrangements, yeah, because we can't sit on the floor. It's not shy. These chairs will not do it. I don't know.
It's being organized.
Yeah, it's being organized? Okay, Baruch Hashem, it's being organized. And we'll have hopefully it'll be very, very meaningful. Tisha B'Av could be a powerful experience. I don't have to tell you that. You know, and we want to make it meaningful. Just to zip through the kinnis and hardly understand the word. Of course, I recommend that everybody get a hold of the Art School Kinnis if you don't have it, if you buried last year's Kinnis. So, you know, this is not a paid political announcement. I don't get any commission.
Kinnis from the front or
it looks like Korah. Yeah. All right, that's good too. I remember the introduction from the Lord, from what's his name? Chief Rabbi. Is he a Lord? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, he is. Okay. What's the din of the son of the Lord? Is he? Oh, that's a Christian concept. But no, are there any status to the son of the Lord? Who's British? Oh, Daniel.
Non-hereditary means obviously
there is no prospect. And what's the din of the chief rabbi? Is it non-hereditary?
Rabbi,
it's no Yerusha.
He can help.
It's
very good. He's a proper English.
Okay, Rabbi Seshker. I apologize if the sugya tonight was complex. I didn't write the text, so you can't blame me. I tried to simplify it. But.